Welcome to The Trending Show. This is episode 109 of the show, where we tell you what's been happening on the internet for the week of Monday, July 15th, all the way through the end of the week. We're recording the show on a Friday, so we're going to give you the full 5 days of trending topics. I am Natalie Morris. Did you know that already?
I did. It says it in my show format.
Right. And you are?
I'm Mike Quackenbush, and you will frequently find me here or on other great podcasts like the Grizzly Bear Egg Cafe.
That's right. That is right. All right. Well, I've got some good stuff for you today. I've done my homework. Are you ready to just dive right into it, or do you want to say anything else about the show, or what do you want to do?
Right. Yeah. I think this is the part of the show where we have the show. Ready?
Okay. Let's do it. Trending on Google search terms on Monday, July 15th, Jenny McCarthy. The actress will be joining the show The View. She will replace Elizabeth Hasselbeck, who is moving to the morning show Fox and Friends. You may have heard that.
Uh-huh. I did hear that.
Yeah, so Joy Behar is also leaving. Barbara Walters will be retiring next year, so there's plenty of empty seats. But this sort of shuffling up of things, you know, people were wondering where would Elizabeth Hasselbeck land and who would replace her. And she seems to, you know, I don't know, people didn't love her on that show, and so maybe this will be a better fit. But Jenny McCarthy is just as fired up as Elizabeth Hasselbeck. She thinks that we're poisoning our kids with immunities, vaccines. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. Does any of this make you any more likely to watch, or does it sadden you about your beloved The View?
No, I have never watched The View. You know, I maybe saw clips like when it was being satirized by The Soup or something like that. But I can't imagine that I'm any more likely to watch or less likely. I mean, these people are all virtually equally irrelevant to me. If, you know, Hasselbeck's a real conservative and Jenny McCarthy thinks that immunizations cause autism and they all have their own wacky views and what, I don't care.
Yeah. You know what? I don't really care either. I care what other people think of it. I just sort of watch the scandal, but I'm not going to watch that. So I will watch Hasselbeck on Fox and Friends because I have a tie to that show. My husband is one of the anchors, so mm-hmm. I'll be watching her there. I didn't watch her on The View, so I'm going to reserve my judgment. Okay, this girl, I can't really say her name. I think it's Agnieszka Radwanska. Mm-hmm. Agnieszka Radwanska.
That sounds exactly right.
Agnieszka Radwanska. Now, if I spoke Polish, that would sound much better, but I do not. She's a 24-year-old Polish tennis star who was dropped by a Catholic youth organization in her native country because she posed nude for ESPN's magazine in their body issue, which they called an annual celebration of athletic physiques. Now, the Catholic organization did not find it so tasteful, so they dropped her. Now, what that means, I don't know, because I don't think they were her sponsor. I guess she was just kind of a member. I don't know, like, what are the repercussions of being dropped by a Catholic youth organization? Do you know what that means? The Catholic Church right. doesn't sponsor athletes, do they?
I think you're just, like, out of the intramural volleyball league.
That's you know? Too bad.
So, and she's a tennis player, so, you know, volleyball, she probably doesn't care.
Right. Now, I sent you a picture of this nude photo. What did mm-hmm. you think?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, it's not what you think.
No.
I can tell you that. You know, they always, in this body issue, kind of find artful ways to cover the people up. You know, if you're just meant to kind of, like, appreciate the human form, all right. Like, she's just lobbing tennis balls into a pool.
Right. Like, naked.
Yeah. All right.
Do you think the Catholic organization would have less of a problem had she been in maybe a string bikini?
You know, I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. It's tough for me to... I'm Roman Catholic, but it's tough for me to feel like I really understand their decision-making process. You know, they kicked Eve off the volleyball league because of the fig leaf thing. So, you know, it's tough to know which way they're going to go.
Now, you are a professional athlete. Would you pose nude for this shoot if they asked you?
Well, no. I think generally they're looking for people that have remarkable physiques. And as I do not fall within those parameters, and really because, you know...
What if they thought that the beauty's in the eye of the beholder? If ESPN says you have a remarkable physique, then you do.
Right. When I was done laughing, I would probably decline because I really covet my spot in the intramural volleyball league.
And you don't want to wax your chest.
Mm-hmm. I can't even imagine. You know, I'm one of those guys, like, if I shave my arms, I'd be shaving again by 5 p.m. Like, it'd be back. Like, there'd be no point.
Right. Okay. Well, let's talk about Whose Line Is It Anyway? The CW revived the improv show this week, and it had been off the air for many years, but it had a good 10 years on ABC. I heard about you. I heard you guys talk about this on a recent episode of the Grizzly Berry Cafe podcast. Mm-hmm. So did you watch it? It seemed like you're a big fan of this show. I didn't know that.
I do really like Whose Line Is It Anyway, but I did not until I stumbled across that information while looking up related info on a comedian on Wikipedia. I didn't know the show was coming back. I've seen no advertising or marketing for it, nor did I know when it was going to premiere. So I completely missed out. But I am a big fan of the original Clive Anderson version, far less so the Drew Carey-hosted version, which is better known here in the States.
Right, but Drew Carey's not hosting this one. It's Aisha Tyler, who they call a comedian. I guess she's a comedian. I think of her as more of a comedic actress than a comedian, mm-hmm. but maybe she's done stand-up and that kind of thing. I don't know.
Yeah, it's always surprising when you discover how many people do have a background in improv or stand-up, so I'm not the least bit surprised by that. Did you get to see it?
No, I did not. I did not. I never had much patience with that show. Every time I tuned in, it was like everyone on stage laughing hysterically, but I was always too late for the joke, and then I had to wait too long for the next joke. So I think it was just it was a matter of timing. You know how there are certain sitcoms where you've seen one episode, but every time you tune in, you seem to see the same episode?
Mm-hmm. Right. That show's called Roseanne.
You've seen the same episode of Roseanne.
I've seen them all.
What happens?
I've just seen that one. Like within 40 seconds, I'm like, no way. I've never understood the appeal of that show. It's the same with Cheers. It's the same with Frasier. About 30 to 40 seconds in, I'm like, I swear I've seen this episode before. And then maybe somebody's like, you know, there's 800 of these episodes. And I'm like, I think I've seen them all. Like, they're all exactly this premise.
No, well, I mean, there are certain shows where I'm like, okay, I'll try the show again because I see it on TV if I'm flipping through. And it's always the same episode that's playing.
Oh, it really is the same episode.
The exact same episode that I always like, I'm going to give the show a shot. And then I'm like, no, I've already seen this episode. Why can't I try it with a new episode?
Not a sitcom, but I did recently go through that. A number of friends of mine recommended a show called Fringe to me. Mm-hmm. Have you watched Fringe?
I watched about 5 minutes of the intro and was like, nope, too scary.
Oh. Well, I saw a first season episode. And I was like, forget this. This is like watered down X-Files. Then I guess...
Yet it was too scary for me. Okay.
Then someone said, no, they really hit their stride in the second season. It gets crazy. You'll really like it. So I saw it in the cable listings, and it was the exact same episode again that I had already seen. I'm like, I'm not going to watch this. But that's my apprehension with that. That's a 100-episode series, and I feel like I can't not know what happens in the first season.
Right.
You know, I can't just start when it gets good because I'm going to have missed all this important backstory and establishing stuff. But I don't know. And 100 episodes seems like a big commitment.
Right. And these days, I mean, back when we were teenagers, if we wanted to start a new show, we didn't always have the option of starting with the first season. But now it's kind of unthinkable that you would start with the second season of a show when it's so easy to get the first season. That wasn't always our experience. I sort of jumped in halfway through Friends. I know you love that show. And I don't understand what your beef with Cheers is. You're crazy. Cheers is a great show.
Maybe it's great and it gets a lot of critical acclaim and it lives in a nostalgic part of people's hearts and imaginations. I have never laughed once watching that show.
Well, how long has it been since you... Because I went back and watched the first season not too long ago because Tina Fey in her book calls it perfect comedic writing. And so I was like, what does she think was so perfect about it? It had been decades, you know, well, not decades, but maybe a decade and a half since I had seen it. And I went back and it holds up. Mm-hmm. It's really funny, good writing.
Perfect good comedic introduction writing of, is in the eye of the beholder, I suppose. I don't want to argue with you, Tina Fey, or you, Natalie.
Fine. All right, this is a sad story. Talia Castellano, she was a 13-year-old YouTube star who was famous for a makeup show. She died this week, losing a long battle to cancer. She was known for trying out and teaching various makeup looks while sporting her bald head, having lost her hair from chemotherapy. Many brands, including YouTube and CoverGirl, came out and mourned her passing on Twitter.
Yeah, very sad indeed.
Did you know this show, this YouTube star?
No, but I was aware it did make the rounds when she passed away, and, you know... Obviously, that's a very attention-grabbing headline. 13-year-old YouTube prodigy passes away. Like, what happened there? So I had to click and read that.
Sad. Okay, let's go on to some happy news. Why don't you introduce our first show sponsor?
Our first show sponsor. I think it's amazing that we have two show sponsors. I want to say that. But our first show sponsor and one of the longest-standing patrons of the podcasting arts here at the Grizzly Productions Network are our pals, Cobra Electronics. For years now, they've been the industry leaders in what they do. They win all kinds of industry awards, increased recognition, and that's because they are always at the cutting edge of innovation. And they make gizmos, and they make gadgets, and they make doodads for people who live on the go, just like me, just like Natalie, and maybe just like you. Among their incredible innovations is the Cobra Eye Radar System, the newest iteration of which has just been rolled out. It's called the Atom System, and it's smart detection for you wherever you may go. It is the most advanced version of this. I'm talking about radar, red light, speed trap detection. I'm talking about social functionality so that you're always getting up-to-date, real-time information about upcoming driving hazards wherever you may be going. It's going to make you safer. It's going to make you more alert. It's going to make you a better driver. That's good for you. That's good for the people that ride with you, and it's good for all the other motorists on the road as well. And once you start road tripping with a Cobra in your car, I mean the gadget, not the serpent, you'll never go back. Check them out and find out about all these other fantastic innovations, because that's really just the tip of the technological iceberg. When you visit Cobra.com, don't hesitate to look on their left-hand navigation, because they offer great deals in the section labeled specials. You'll thank me after you're done. Cobra.com makes this program possible. Thank you, Cobra Electronics.
Indeed. Okay. Let's talk about Honey Boo Boo. She trended on Wednesday, July 17th because she is retiring from beauty pageants.
At the age of?
7.
Oh, well, that's about it, really. That's the end of the good years, isn't it?
Pack it in, folks. Pack it in. Well, her mother says the reason that they are retiring from beauty pageants is because their family is just way too busy with their TLC reality show called Here Comes Honey Boo Boo. Mm. Oh, and school and life in general as well are also keeping her busy. Show was a spinoff from her appearance on Toddlers and Tiaras. She became a bit of a phenomenon ever since. So her family is also famous now that because they're featured on the show, her newlywed parents, her 3 teen sisters, and her infant niece.
I can recall, Natalie, when I was 7, I had so little time for things like the pageant circuit. My schedule was loaded with reruns of He-Man and the Masters of the Universe and other syndicated animated fare. I could not have squeezed in another pageant if I'd wanted to.
Right, and you also had the Cub Scouts, right?
I wasn't the Cub Scouts, that's true. It was very time-consuming, that 3-hour meeting once a week.
That was it?
I think it was a 2-hour meeting, to be honest.
When do you stop being a Cub Scout and start being a Boy Scout?
You must progress. You earn a couple of ranks. You become a Bobcat. You get that badge. And then you become a Wolf. And then you become a Bear. And then you become one of the oft-mocked Weeblos. And then after you transcend through that, like the next evolution of your form is you become a Boy Scout. And I think that normally happens around age 12.
Oh, okay. Could you be a big flunky and be a 14-year-old Cub Scout?
You could definitely fail to get to earn the badges in sufficient time. But I don't think, I think after a certain age, you can no longer be a Cub Scout. After the age of 18, you can no longer be a Boy Scout. Like if you get to the age of 18 without achieving the highest rank, which is Eagle, you just age out, like you're done.
But so, you were an Eagle Scout, right?
I was.
To a real achiever, folks.
Right, and that was really the last thing I achieved. That was, after that, you know, I was just like, there's nothing left. You know, it's kind of like Honey Boo Boo, really. Except without all the money.
And your family is not famous for supporting you in your endeavors.
No, but let it be known, I think that's a huge difference maker. If you know somebody involved in those types of programs, if the parents aren't constantly kicking you in the keister to get you going, you will never do anything in those kinds of things. Like, if my dad wasn't cracking the whip constantly, I never, ever would have gotten that stuff done. Because it can be very involved and very time-consuming toward the end.
I'm sure. Even just, you know, taking your kid to any kind of appointment can be draining. So can you imagine all of the, I don't know, whatever it takes to get your child to win a pageant? Like, okay, honey, it's time for your highlights. We got to go do that. And then your tap dance lesson and all of that stuff. It seems like an exhausting thing. But you can imagine this whole family put all their resources behind her pageant career because they thought it would pay off, and it did.
Mm-hmm. And I would wager to say that probably, you know, that increased focus of attention and all the pressures put on this youngster will probably just equal a really well-balanced and mature adult.
I think she's got a future as an intellectual. Probably a consultant.
Well, you know, I don't want
to
say
C-level executives.
I don't want to say anything about her intellect. What I'm saying is, you just know that girl's going to be screwed up for the rest of her life.
Yeah. I think you can include intellect in one of the ways in which she'll be screwed up. But yeah, probably self-confidence, social skills, all of that stuff.
If you're a pageant goer from ages 4 to 6, right, in your formative years, right, where you're really starting to, all those important types of functions are developing and you're learning how to relate to people socially, I don't see how you could be at the center of that for any length of time and not grow up to be a raging egomaniac.
Well, I did win Little Miss Fremont 1985 when I was 5 years old, but it was the only pageant I ever competed in. I did zero preparation. My tap teacher said, go get on stage and enter this, and I did, and I won. So would you call me an egomaniac? Don't answer that.
Well, I don't think you were trying to make a juvenile career out of it.
I certainly was not.
Right. Did you afterwards announce on Twitter that you'd retired from pageant going? No, of course you didn't.
No, I just timed out when the next girl became eligible and I was 6. Mm-hmm. And that was the end of it. So there's that. But I wouldn't call myself. But, you know, I do have friends who competed in pageants and thought that it was a fun time. Just I have a lot of issues with it myself. I wouldn't put my own daughter in it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Speaking of things that are glamorous, Rolling Stone cover trended on Wednesday, July 17th, because the magazine is in trouble for putting the Boston bomber, Jokhar Tsarnaev, on their cover, looking fairly rock star-like, maybe kind of sexy-ish. I don't particularly find him sexy, but I would say it's a sexy picture. I don't know. I'm not going to defend that.
And this is because his Blues album is coming out, right?
Right.
That's why they did that.
Well, people are really offended by this. There's, you know, the cover is that the story is about him, and there are all these women who think he's sexy and they want to date him. And the image is obviously sort of cropped and photoshopped, and he does look kind of menacing and smoldering. He doesn't look, he doesn't really look like a heinous person at all. And obviously, he's a heinous person who would kill innocent people. So people are calling this a glamorization of him, which of course has dangerous consequences. In response, a Boston police officer released images of the day he was caught, all bloodied up and, you know, not glamorous. The police officer is in trouble with the force for this.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know you do not love Rolling Stone magazine. Have you seen this?
No. I was aware there was some kind of controversy around this relating to him, the photo of him that's out there. And I've always been, I don't know if fascinated is the right word, but curious about, you ever hear about like these women groupies that go to the prisons where serial killers are, or like they have like these long distance love lettery relationships with the Charles Mansons of the world.
Mm-hmm.
Like I don't know, they're attracted to the ultimate bad boy or something like that. Like that's kind of disturbing to me in a way. And the fact that, I don't know, that they're looking, well, maybe we can somehow profit off of this or whatever. I don't know. That's really bizarre.
It is bizarre, but, you know, people fall in love for all kinds of reasons, if you would want to call it love. I just instant messaged you a link to it, so go ahead and take a look.
Mm-hmm.
And let me know what you think of that.
This forces my web browser to open, so it should just be a few minutes.
Okay.
So, yeah. Internet Explorer 3.1 is so slow. Yeah, what the heck? That's
right? That's not okay.
Just stupid.
He looks like Bob Dylan, sort of. Like a young Bob Dylan.
It really does. It looks like he's like a hippie folk artist. You know, like, here's the hot new act out of the village.
Actually,
Bomber.
He's a murderer.
Right, yeah. Mass murderer.
So, all right, screw him. Let's talk about Emmy nominations. They came out this week, and one of the biggest surprises is that the network that received nominations for the first time was Netflix. Emmys are, of course, a television award program, and this is the first time that Netflix has had original programming that was eligible. Their two most prominent shows received nominations, House of Cards and Arrested Development.
Hmm. A changing the paradigm.
Hmm. Yeah. So online shows, you know, and they're up there competing with 30 Rock and Downton Abbey and, of course, Breaking Bad.
When did 30 Rock conclude?
Last season. Hmm. Last season was their last season. So I want to say it's been a few months now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So they're still eligible for their last round.
I see.
Of Emmys. Right. Okay. Mark Anthony trended. on Thursday, July 17th, people were annoyed that the singer sang God Bless America at the Major League Baseball All-Star Game this week. Anthony was born in New York. He is an American dude. The game was held in New York. That's why he was chosen. It was a very New York-centric event. But he is of Puerto Rican descent, so I guess people just don't like the Latinos singing their American anthems. Last month, we talked about an 11-year-old boy from Texas that sang the national anthem at the NBA Finals. People also were not happy with that. What is wrong with people? Anthony went on live with Kelly and Michael, and he said, you know, you can't get more American than me. So he had to remind people that even though he is of Latin descent, he is an American person.
He's an American person. You heard it here first from the trending show. It's amazing to me that people care about these things.
It's amazing to me, too, that people not only care about these things, but also are so ignorant about them.
Like, I can only have my national anthem sung by a guy that I think is an American person.
Right.
I can't have... I would guess... I mean, I don't know, Natalie, to be sure, but I would guess there are probably talented singers from other places, like the country of Greenland or Bangladesh. I don't know where else they make singers, but I would think, for me, the bottom line is, if I must listen to a song being sung live, I just want it to be sung well.
Yes. Okay. But yes, they have to look, I guess, like an Anglo person in order to sing it well. And what if a person from Bangladesh wanted to sing God Bless America? Maybe they felt that God shall bless America. That's what they feel in their heart. They can sing that, right? Even if you're not an American. Fine. Right. Do it. So this is annoying. It's annoying to me.
That's how it made it into the show.
You can simply do a Google search and find out that Mark Anthony was born in the United States. And even if he was born in Puerto Rico, it is an American territory. So they do still sing that song there. People are so stupid. Okay, let's talk about Mark Anthony's ex-wife, Jennifer Lopez, because she trended on Friday. She performed at the award show Premios Juventud, which means Youth Awards. And her act featured rapper Pitbull. The two of them jumped into a pool at the end of the act, fully clothed. It got people excited. It was sort of a medley of her best hits. So it trended. If you want to watch it, it is 7 minutes long.
The pool jump got people excited, did it?
I guess, yeah. And the rapper and such. So there's that.
That's what I got for you on that.
I don't know. I do think it's kind of funny. It's called Premios Juventud. Like, this is the Youth Awards. Jennifer Lopez is pushing 40, so maybe she's even beyond 40. Let me check. I think she's over 40, right?
I would guess that it's because she's popular with the kids.
I guess.
And they probably
she's 43.
They can't afford One Direction.
Right. I guess.
I would not know what One Direction is or that they exist if not for this show.
Me neither. Their music, though, is so toe-tapping.
I couldn't identify a single one of their songs. I have no idea. They could have a million number one hits, and I would never know. Like, they could fill up the whole top 10, you know, like the one time I think the Beatles and Elvis did that. Like, I wouldn't even know. I don't know any songs. I don't listen to terrestrial radio.
Okay. Well, why don't you tell us about our last show sponsor before we move on to a few Twitter trends.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. What's this about this new show sponsor, Natalie? Are you talking about Power Mat?
Uh-huh. Are we not supposed to talk about Power Mat yet?
Well, I want to talk about Power Mat, whether we're supposed to talk about Power Mat or not, because I love Power Mat. I love Power Mat. Do you have a Power Mat? Do you know what it is?
Mm-hmm. I do.
It's a wireless charging station. You can charge any of your gizmos on it. It couldn't be simpler. And it's awesome for long-distance travel, long car rides, anywhere where you might go where you're worried about your phone, your BlackBerry, your blah, blah, blah. Whatever you're worried about, you don't have to worry because you got a Power Mat. You charge that thing up and you take it with you wherever you go. And, you know, you can charge more than one device on it. So it's not as if, you know, for example, this is my own personal experience speaking here. My iPod dies all the time. All the time. And if I don't bring the exact charger that fits that, like I goof and I bring the wrong wire, or I take that but then my phone dies and I don't have my phone charger, you never have to worry about any of that with PowerMat. It is the wireless charging solution. I feel like it's the future, in a way. I feel like a hole in the space-time continuum has opened up, and people from the future have given me PowerMat so that I am never without power again. And you know, they've recently teamed up with Duracell. I don't know if you knew that. They are making everything super awesome better. Where, if I wanted to go online, Natalie, using today's limited technology to find out about this futuristic technology, where would I go on the interwebs?
PowerMat.com, and that's Power Matt with one T, not two.
Mm-hmm. Matt, yeah, like you lay on a mat, not Matt, your friend. PowerMat.com. If it wasn't for great folks like PowerMat and our friends at Cobra.com, we couldn't deliver programs like The Trending Show to you every week free of charge. But we have them, and so we can. Do us a solid and go visit our show sponsors. Show them some love. PowerMat.com.
Okay, let's bring in sexy back now. That's what we're going to do, because hashtag sex is good when is trending on Twitter. This trend has users giving reasons why sex can be pleasurable. Some of them are kind of dirty, suggesting people or positions, but some of them are more theoretical, such as sex is good when you wait until marriage or before or with a man or with two women or kinky or not, as long as it's consensual.
Was there like a big outcry? People were like, we're not sure that it's good.
I think so.
Can anybody get behind this argument?
And that maybe it's not so good.
Right.
Well,
and
this person is underlining consensual. So I'm assuming that when sex is not consensual, it's also not good.
Right. Yeah, I was going to say, I think that's a crime. I think there may be a term for that.
Right. Well, it is a crime, but is it good for either party involved? I'm going to say probably not.
Yeah. I'm fairly certain, with 100% certainty, that it's not.
Right.
Right. Yeah.
Have you ever heard the, what's the expression, sex is like pizza, even when it's bad, is still good?
I have never heard that expression.
I don't think that.
And you know, if you know my stance on pizza,
right, so I'm bringing a really different. Those things are good.
I'm bringing a really different perspective to this than everybody else, right? You wanted to gross it up a step to lasagna. Now I'm like revulsion. I'm feeling absolute revulsion.
Is there any kind of food that you think is still good when it's bad? Like,
wow, that is a very good question. Though.
Like something you'll eat even though you're like, this is not even a good version of this, but I'm going to eat it anyway.
Oh,
like nachos or
no,
a hot dog.
Nachos.
I don't know.
No, most hot dogs are kind of gross. Wow, that is a very good question. I don't know what would constitute a lousy funnel cake. But like if I got one, like it's too crispy, like it doesn't have the soft doughy feel to it, right? Or it's been over or under sugared, or it's like so greasy that it's like destroying the plate underneath it. I think in that instance, I'd be like, well, part of it's because, you know, you just spent $5 on the funnel cake. But because you should never throw a funnel cake away. There are starving kids like in Africa and China and other developing areas of the world. If you have a funnel cake and you throw it away, I'm coming over to punch you.
Okay, so that's our show title is Sex is Like Funnel Cake instead of Sex is Like Pizza. But I will blow your mind a little bit and tell you that I've never had a funnel cake. And also, a second thing, I was at the beach last week and I saw on the boardwalk these things called funnel cake fries, which I guess are little stick-like versions of the funnel cake that you then just pop it. Have you ever had those?
I have. Some really do come close to matching like the flavor, the consistency, and everything else. Some do not. I remember for a while Burger King had funnel cake fries, and they were not.
Uh-huh.
This is just a bad marketing ploy. You should have called them something else. I would wager to say if you and I made a list, there is an enormous number of things that could be construed as desserts that I've had that you've never had.
Mm-hmm. And I have had a baked Alaska, though.
Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
All right. And then I would wager to say there's probably like an equal list of, I don't know, let's call them healthy foods that you've eaten that I've never eaten. Like I think they'd probably be commensurate.
Like quinoa or bulgur wheat.
I was going to say, is that the leader of the Ewoks? What is that? What did you just say there?
Yeah. You don't eat quinoa?
Get the net, Hamas. Here come the stormtroopers.
Yeah, come on over for dinner. Here's some edamame appetizer. You'd be like, what? Where's the Skittles?
I do actually know what edamame is because it was in a television dinner I ate once.
Oh my gosh, your intestine makes me want to cry.
Don't pretend to know anything about my intestines, Natalie.
I do. I can surmise from the way you talk about food what's going on in your intestines.
I'll tweet out some images. I had some scoping done. So yeah, if you really want to know what my intestines are like, I'll tweet out the images.
Oh, God, I saw this YouTube video once of these scientists who had, they had a camera inside someone's intestine, and the first day she ate non-processed food, only sort of vegetables and whole grains and stuff, and the food just moved right through. And then the next day she ate things like fruit roll-ups or, you know, candy or McDonald's. Mm. And, like, the dye actually does dye your intestine and stays in there for at least a day or two. And then the rest of it just sort of sticks to the side. Like, processed food does not move through you very well. It's disgusting.
Well, so, you know, if you don't take the time to train your intestines, that could be true.
Mm-hmm. So you think you are well-versed at processing processed food?
Yes. I think so.
I'm going to need a stool sample.
Mm.
I'm going to need to verify that. You can send it to Clayton.
I was going to
put it in. Put it on a bag, in a paper bag, and light it on fire on our
porch. At least once, if not twice, in the course of this podcast, I feel like our relationship has changed pretty dramatically, Natalie. And that was that was really it there. Either the zenith or the nadir, depending on your point of view, was you requesting a stool sample from me.
It's only down here from there, folks. Last hashtag to speak about this week, hashtag heat wave, is trending because it is freaking hot outside. It's like living on the sun. Mostly this trend has people complaining or giving tips for staying cool and staying hydrated. Gotta hydrate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very unlikely that hashtag's about the Blue Nile song of the same name. It is unbelievably hot, and I have a little app where I can check weather on my iPad, and it's not particularly accurate. But it offers this bit of information, which I recently discussed with your husband, which is baffling to me. When I last looked at it this morning, it said temperature 91 degrees, feels like 101.
Oh,
and who gets to come up with that?
I don't know.
Who's the guy that's like, oh, this feels so much more like 99? Put that in the app.
Maybe someone has a special type of skin that can register feeling. I don't know. It's like the windshield factor. Is it like, what does that mean? You know, it's cold, but it's colder.
No, that gives
it's
like
hot,
a bunch of meteorologists
hotter.
A job. That's all that this is, you know? It's people who otherwise wouldn't have a job. They're, look, what can we do about unemployment here at the Weather Channel? Oh, I know. Let's make up a thing, not what the true temperature is, because that information is sort of, you know, objective, empirical. Let's hire a guy who just says what he thinks it feels like, and we could give a guy a job, and that's what we do to stem, to ebb the curve or ebb the flow of unemployment. And then, hey, you know what, with the wind, doesn't it sometimes seem so much colder? Is there a scientist we could hire that really kind of puts that on like a graph for us? Then that's two people we gave jobs to. Like, I have to believe that's where it came from.
You know how I'm really bad with idioms? Like, I always think that the saying is one thing, but it's not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So this is something I can Google, but I'm going to ask you. Is it wind chill factor or is it windshield factor?
Wind chill. Chill. C-H-I-L-L.
Okay. So it's not like the windshield on your car.
No. To the very best of my knowledge, no.
I always thought it was windshield factor, right, and I thought it just meant what it would feel like if you laid naked on the windshield
in the
dead of winter.
The windshield factor is often discussed among insects, but not among humans.
Okay.
Among the humans, we discuss the wind chill factor, which again I think was a construct of the Weather Channel to help curb unemployment.
Mm, okay. Way to sensationalize the weather.
Mm.
Well, in case you didn't get the memo, it's damn hot.
From your friends at the Trending Show, there's your climate memo.
I feel so bad strapping my kids into their car seats. And I did that the other day, and I walked around the car, and I told my husband, I'm like, it's hot as testicles out. Like, it's so hot, and I have to put them in these padded seats that are even hotter. It's terrible. I don't have testicles, but I can imagine this is what it feels like. They're hot.
Mm-hmm. What you can do, you just bring, like, a travel mug with ice water in it, and once you strap them in, just splash it in their face. And you're like halfway through the trip before they even recover from the shock that you did it.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
I love getting parenting advice for you. Gosh, I miss Daddy on board.
Incidentally, you are the first person in human history to ever utter that phrase. No, you know what? I got to say this. This stunned me. About a month after Daddy on Board had concluded, which was a parenting podcast that I did, perhaps more accurately drove into the ground, I bumped into an old acquaintance of mine through the world of professional wrestling. And he said, when is your next Daddy on Board coming out? And first I was taken aback that he even knew what that was. And I said, why are you asking me that? Because, you know, no one asks that. And he said, I used to listen to that every week. He said, there was no podcast like that. And then I just turned my back and got in my car and left.
Did it make you feel good?
Maybe for a split second. It was really strange. And then he wanted to talk to me about like all these daddying books that he reads. He's like, what do you think of this book? Or, hey, you know, I heard about this on another parenting blog. As if I, you know, was like really engaged in that sphere. And I'm like, I don't know what that book is.
Uh-huh.
You know, like, what's this hermetically sealed bubble that you keep your child in like it's a guinea pig? I don't know what that is.
We don't do research. We just pontificate.
Right, yeah. Like, look, I'm just a headline reader, okay? That's the bet, you know... My teleprompter is a computer screen, and that's it. And if I can get everything out without mispronouncing a word, I just send it off to Jim and he makes it happen.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I did research on the show today, but my research has concluded. That's all I got for you.
Mm-hmm. That is the conclusion of Natalie's research. Beware, because my research is far more slipshod.
We'll be looking forward to that on the trending show. Well, thanks for listening, everyone. It's been a blast.
Okay. Thanks, Natalie. Bye, Natalie.
Bye-bye.